Good evening, everyone. As soon as I turn the microphone on, here we go. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the special City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, Tuesday, August 29th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Dickens.
Here.
Councilmember Costello.
Here.
Councilmember Arnold.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie.
Here.
And Mayor Farrar.
Here. If you would all please stand and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Since this is a special meeting, we have an abbreviated schedule this evening. And so some of the items that are normally on our agendas are not on this evening's agenda. I did want to make an announcement, though. I don't know if all of us have heard here, but we were advised this afternoon that there was a tragic accident here in the village. And so I just wanted to pause for a moment. It involved the Wood family here in Arroyo Grande, and our thoughts and prayers are with that family and their young son, who was struck by an automobile out here on Branch Street. So I would invite you to come forward at this time. State your name for the record. Please be mindful of the three-minute rule, and please address the council as a whole. Anyone who would like to come forward for community comment?
Good evening, council staff. Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. It has come to our understanding that the channel's been going on and going off periodically for the past month or so or more. We'd like to ask the community to keep us informed of the channel. Our phone number is 772-2715. And that's a 24-hour number. Please call it at any time if you see a problem with the channel, and we will try to respond as quickly as we can with the process. Our normal response is within 24 hours. So if there is any problems with the channel, please let us know. We'll take care of it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Item 5 is our consent agenda. This is an opportunity for members of the item to come forward, or members of the audience to come forward and comment on consent items 5A or B. These are normally items that the council approves in one action, unless there is an item on consent that council members would like to pull for an individual action. So 5A and B, any comments from the community on consent? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public comment period for the consent agenda. What is the will of the council on 5A and B? Okay, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve items 5A and 5B.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello.
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens.
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie.
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar.
Yes, thank you. Item 6 is a continued public hearing, consideration of the alignments alternatives for Newsom Springs drainage.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I need to recuse myself from this item due to my indirect interest in the Dixon Ranch. Thank
you. Okay. Jim, I just need to clarify, we had requested that you come back as a member of the public and kind of narrate the CD that you distributed at the last meeting. Is that something that you're prepared to do?
Yeah, I would be willing to answer any questions that the council may have in regards to the DVD that I presented at the last public hearing. If you have questions, I'll be available.
Okay, thanks.
To address graphics, to provide some discussion as to the source of the flooding and also the source of sedimentation, to relate the conclusions in the Swanson study to the Newsom Springs project, and to include some discussions we've had with the RCD regarding the area flooding and the area controls for sedimentation. So with that, I'm going to proceed through the PowerPoint. And is the screen legible for you? All right. Just to start, for the council and the public, the areas that the primary areas that experience flooding that this project would address. We have the agricultural fields. And this is where, right in here, is where the drainage, the primary watershed releases water. You have the agricultural fields, water that comes through the stone culvert causes flooding problems on the Luan Lane area, on downstream the Vagabond Mobile Home Park area, on downstream the Cultural Christian School. And there are other areas downstream that also have flooding, but at that point the primary source of water is a larger watershed over in here. Also in this direction, downstream from the agricultural fields, you have the Noguera Place area, and you have the land currently vacant for the where the proposed Cherry Creek development project is. So those are the areas that are currently subject to flooding and that were the initial reason the Newsom Springs Regional Project was pursued. The watershed areas associated with this, you have the Newsom Canyon and Guaya Canyon primary watershed, a little over 1,100 acres, pretty much a mostly natural watershed with natural vegetation. It drains downstream, crossing Branch Mill Road right here in the 8-foot high by 4-foot wide box culvert, draining on to the agricultural fields. And, of course, the low-flow channel drains along the edge and through the stone culvert and down on this direction, while excess flood flows go on across the field. You also have a 51-acre watershed draining to Cross Branch Mill into the low-flow channel. Sedimentation relates to flooding issues, not for these sites we've talked about here, but further downstream in Arroyo Grande Creek. So just for information, there are a couple of existing ponds in the watershed. They're small here and here, and probably don't provide much control for flood control and maybe pick up a little bit of sedimentation from areas upstream, but really aren't a big factor. We've done an evaluation of potential pond sites here and here. Considering both detention and sedimentation, I'll talk a little bit more about the effectiveness of that. And then we'll talk a little bit about sedimentation of the ag fields and different locations and methods where you might control some of that. And if you were to do it with physical facilities, they would need to be on the downstream side of the agricultural fields. So this is a copy of a page out of the Swanson Hydrology and Geomorphology Study of Arroyo Grande Creek that they did in January 2006. And this here is the Newsom Springs watershed. And what this chart is showing you is their estimates on a watershed-by-watershed basis as to which ones produce sediment on a per-acre basis. What it shows you is that the Newsom Springs is considered by them to be a low producer of sediment on a per-acre basis. Contrary to that, the Arroyo Grande main stem, this large red watershed, is by far their highest producer of sediment. They don't really discuss sediment coming off of agricultural fields. They do discuss sediment coming off of selected areas of the creek bank itself, Arroyo Grande Creek, that they have particular concerns with large sloughing events producing large transports of sediment. And some of those relate to some of our alignments, and we'll talk about that. This is their slide of those bank erosion sites that I just mentioned. And again, this is from the Swanson report, and this is just a copy of their display, and this is a blow-up of the area related to our project. It's a little hard to read, but if you study it, you can figure out its alignments B and C. And so that comes into play in whether the project affect sedimentation control or should be related to addressing bank stabilization. The other side of controlling source besides controlling sedimentation is just controlling the floodwaters. And in controlling floodwaters, if you're doing it with a pond, we call that a detention pond where you store the water temporarily and release it at a lower rate. And this is just, again, a copy of the Swanson study as they studied the potential for regional detention basins to improve flooding conditions on Arroyo Grande Creek as a whole. They weren't studying our selected sites, which are all above Arroyo Grande Creek. They were selecting Arroyo Grande Creek as a whole. They did not have identified the Newsom watershed as a good site for stormwater detention. Again, I have the overall and a blow-up, and this is their Newsom's watershed. They identified a site here on Tar Springs, another site across the way, and those are on much larger watersheds, pretty consistent with the strategies that we talked about when we presented the drainage master plan, where you really need a large watershed to do detention that would effectively improve flooding on Arroyo Grande Creek, which is what the Swanson study addressed. We did our own study of can we do a detention basin on those sites I showed you at the tail end of Newsom's Canyon to improve flooding here. And they can help a little bit, but the potential is pretty limited. And if you have questions on that, I can go further into it. Swanson study also, besides detention, identified ideal sites for basins that would collect sediment. And again, the only little point here is that they did not see Newsom Springs as a site on a regional basis that was a good bet for that. Again, they were looking at the larger set basins that or watersheds that were larger contributors of sediment. So I'm going to show you several slides of alternative projects. They generally fall into three categories, those that follow alignment A, alignment B, and alignment C, will eventually end up down in this area. So the alignment A projects are in this general location, alignment B here, and alignment C here. So within alignment A, there are four alternative projects. And one thing I want to point out is that not all of these projects provide protection to the same areas. So that's one thing I want you to focus on and understand. So project A1 is basically two storm drain pipes from Cherry Avenue Extension onto the creek. In order to get water into those pipes, you need large collection ditches. And considering that this would be a future road, and you don't want the runoff to cross the road, the ditches have to be on this side of the road. That puts them in the agricultural field, requires right-of-way, and the effect on the agricultural fields. This is the simplest project. It provides protection to Noguera Place and this area only. And the estimated project cost would be about $920,000 total project cost. A2 is basically the same project, except we looked at the option of using ditches instead of pipes, recognizing we would need bridges or box culverts at Cherry Avenue Extension and Myrtle. It has pretty much the same issues, but is estimated to be more expensive, depending upon the cost of the bridges. A3 was an attempt at providing protection for more areas and also reducing the impact on the agricultural land. And it goes back to using pipes downstream because that was considered to be less expensive, but it also extends a pipe on up to the stone culvert, picking up this flow, which then provides flood protection for all those areas in this direction. but it also reduces the amount of the collection ditch that we need here and provides a buried structure that can be formed over the top of it and doesn't impede access. So it's provides less effect on the agricultural Cherry Avenue extension. And the concept here is that by swinging Cherry Avenue extension away, you're able to allow the runoff to get into a collection ditch here without crossing the road and without requiring land on the agricultural property. We believe we only have limited topographic information on the agricultural property, but from what we do have, we believe that you need a low berm or wall, something along here in the right-of-ways of Cherry Avenue and Branch Mill Road, to make sure that the water runs off in this direction without crossing over and coming on down the road here. That's an important feature. This project also includes the 48-inch pipe, so we do have protection of these properties, and it includes a ditch and box culverts in this direction. So really, it provides protection to all the areas downstream of the agricultural fields in either direction. It's estimated to cost a little over $1 million, and that's basically, we just use the same estimated price as a two without some right-of-way, and adding the 48-inch pipe. Moving on to the B alignment projects. B1 provides the 48-inch pipe from the stone culvert all the way to the creek. That's a smaller pipe than before because the primary flow is being picked up direct from Newsom's Canyon. What we have coming straight out of Newsom's Canyon, or just downstream from it, the canyon actually releases here, and we're proposing a ditch straight down these property lines to the creek with some equipment crossings. So this takes the majority of the flow. Low flow continues on down here, plus the smaller watersheds. The 48-inch pipe takes that. So with this one, you get protection of pretty much everything downstream of Newsom's Canyon. However, it is impacting of these agricultural lands a little bit in this area, unless you can keep that in the right of way. It's a close call. The creek here upstream from these identified bank erosion sites. So if you're going to go to this alignment, you know, the bad news is you should probably include some bank stabilization, some mitigation of that hazard. The flip side of that is the input from RCD is that if you were to expand the scope to include some bank stabilization or bank erosion protection, you know, they may be able to help us get some funding for that. So one of the issues for council to consider is, do you want to expand the scope of the project into a bankside erosion project seeking funding to do so? And just as a side comment, certainly council could pursue Rio Grande Creek bank stabilization projects on its own, with or without the Newsom Springs project, and choosing any of these alternatives doesn't preclude you from pursuing that at any time. B2 is essentially the same project, only without the 48-inch pipe, and it saves some money and doesn't provide the same protection to as many areas. You do get reduced flood flows in these areas because you're picking up so much here, but you still have 51 acres and 73 acres, I think it was, raining down to there, and that would still exceed the capacity of the existing facilities in this area. But that's this option. B3 is essentially the same as B1. We just looked at pipes, instead of a ditch. And it actually, again, looks like it may cost less. And again, that really depends on how many crossings you construct with a ditch option. And a pipe has the advantage of that you can cross it anywhere and can even farm over it once you're done constructing it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
I'm a little confused on the pricing. If a pipe can serve as a bridge, why would you not go ditch to pipe back to ditch? In theory, if we're basically 280,000 less in this scenario,
since we have to make it bigger, and so every time you enter and exit, you're going to have a pretty good sized concrete structure transitioning this trapezoidal ditch, and these are big ditches because they're because of the elevation constraints, they have to be pretty shallow and very flat, so they get very wide. And so you're trying to take a ditch that might be, 60 feet wide at the top into a 6-foot diameter pipe, and that's going to have to be some money spent to do that.
Now, when you talk about, I remember from the last meeting, the elevation change from where Newsom Springs, where it's where we pick it up initially,
yeah,
to the creek. When you were talking about that, I think you said 8 feet was the distance, the drop in that distance. Was that to the top of the creek or to the bottom of the creek, do you know?
Yeah, let me review that. The elevation changes that I was talking about, we looked at the elevation in about this area here. There's a lot of elevation change happening right here, but then you get done with all that and you're down in this area here. And I looked at the elevation here and here. And this is up above, this is in the flat land, not in the creek itself. So, in other words, if you're trying to put a pipe or a ditch across all that flat land, what do you have to deal with? And with alignment B, there's a couple of foot of drop across here, is all.
Okay.
And so as you're trying to make that ditch flow downhill a little steeper than that, it gets deeper on the downhill end, and then it gets wider and wider across the top. Or conversely, as you're trying to put a pipe in, the trench gets deeper and deeper, starts getting expensive, and you also are fighting the fact that you're this much upstream and the water in the creek itself is higher up, pretending to back the pipe up. Makes all those factors make the B and C facilities bigger.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
To change the language just a little bit, so the creek itself is not as deep at where alignment B drops into the creek as where alignment A would drop into the creek. Is that what you're?
Yes, the creek is higher up because it's flowing downhill.
Higher.
It's higher in elevation, and so is the water within it, just because it's further upstream. Okay. And then finally, alignment C is basically the same as alignment B. The idea here, we did back in 1999, we didn't do an aerial survey of the whole thing, but we did come out here and take field shots in this whole area, probably, 20 or 30 elevation shots, here, and different places all around to blanket the area, and that's where that data comes from. So I just have two more slides. One of the recommendations that staff is recommending is to authorize environmental review. We do anticipate that this would be a focused EIR, and that the degree of the items that it would focus on would come out of the initial study that would be presented to your council for consideration. We estimate it'd be a minimum of 6 to 8 months, a minimum of $100,000, and would be proposed to be funded from the project budget. And will result in the need for additional project funding in the future. So the staff recommendations are for the council to select a preferred alignment for the Newsom Springs drainage improvements, to direct staff to perform additional engineering analysis, and that's to give a more detailed project definition for environmental review, preliminary plans that would be more detailed than what you're seeing here. and to initiate the environmental review process in conformance with CEQA. The transfer $25,000 from the pavement management program and to direct staff to work with representatives of the Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District. We've done that to some extent, and they have a representative here to talk to you. And you know, there's, if the project includes sedimentation control, there are some opportunities to apply for grant funding related to that. So with that, that concludes the presentation, and we're available for questions.
Okay. I think before we get into questions, I would like to hear from RCD. Julie, did you want to, or I'm sorry.
Good evening. I'm Cheryl Linhart. I am a board member of the Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District. I am also an employee at Wallace Group. I've been a board member longer than I've been an employee at Wallace Group. But just for the record, I participated in some of the studies of Newsom Springs.
Excuse me, is her mic on? Okay.
New sediment would be appreciated. We're also interested in helping all of the neighbors, not just the Zone 11A, but the neighbors down in the tracks that are just immediately downstream of the Newsom Springs. And those are our primary concerns.
Okay. Thank you. I had a question. I'm not sure if you're the person to ask, or Julie, if you would like to comment. But the last meeting, we talked about the possibility of looking at some of the upstream. In fact, if you want to jump in, feel free, Craig. But you know, the Swanson study did focus on I believe some of the upstream potential mitigation, and that's what I wanted to focus on, was to see whether or not it is practical to, you know, take another look at the source and whether or not that can be a regional endeavor. So who wants to tackle that one?
Hi, I'm Julie Thomas. I work with the Coastal San Luis RCD. And if the question is whether it's feasible to obtain grant funding to mitigate some of the stream erosion sites, is that?
I'm talking about upstream in the canyons, the source.
Oh, okay, any source. It seems, and there have been projects that the RCD has worked on and obtained grant funding for that have involved doing erosion control on stream sites, and especially since the Arroyo Grande Creek is a steelhead trout creek and has also red-legged frogs in it, that further makes it eligible for funding to do sediment control and any kind of stream restoration. It's always, you know, a bit of a... There's always an unknown as to exactly when the funding would be available or where it would come from, but it's certainly a possibility.
Okay. The funding was one issue. The practicality of approaching something, approaching mitigation up in the canyon. I know that some of those properties are privately owned, so... And you mentioned some of the...
Picks up sediment. So whether any protection upstream for sediment would have an effect downstream, I think that should be studied more, but my gut feeling is that the answer is no. That anything that you do is good, but will it have a measurable effect downstream? I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. If I can jump in here, are you saying then that any sedimentation efforts that occur need to occur between the agricultural fields and the creek?
I think with the agriculture fields down below, you have a natural sedimentation pond capability. The fields act as a way of catching those sediments. And the sediments that leave the fields are probably a larger problem than the sediment that's coming from the upper watershed. anything that you can do to stop sediment upstream is always helpful, but the biggest bang for your buck is probably going to be down at the lower end.
Well, then, if I can follow up on that too, it would seem to me if we could do whatever would be necessary to not have the fields flood, so therefore we wouldn't be picking up the sediment in the first place. So in theory, we would be doing sediment control by not creating the sediment in the first place. Would that logic not follow? So then possibly a detention basin or what before the ag fields could in theory actually help to prevent sediment from getting into the creek because we wouldn't be flooding the fields.
For flood capabilities, you need a deeper detention pond, and just a preliminary study that we did at the end of the steep part prior to Branch Mill Road and then just below Branch Mill Road, we found that you needed about a 15-foot deep pond to effectively reduce the peak flows for the larger storms 33%. So the benefit downstream really isn't there for reducing the flood. If you take the alignment B or C option, where you are capturing some of the flow, reducing the flow across the ag fields, then you are definitely reducing the amount of sediment that's leaving the ag field, and that is something that I think should be looked at.
Now, when you talk about the 15-foot detention basin, you're basing that on a 100-year flood?
That's correct.
Has there been anything, is this something I was talking to the city manager earlier today, is he would not look upon as valid since it didn't deal with it 100% of the time, or is there not the, well, we're getting most of it, so that's good?
I think the RCD would encourage any projects that reduce flooding or sediment at the lower storms would definitely be helpful, but we were definitely also interested in helping further downstream at the larger storms. I think I can't speak for the RCD and which grants that we would get, but we would definitely be interested in applying for any grants that would reduce sediment or flood flows, even at the lower flow storms.
Thank you. That's all I have, Mr.
Go ahead, Joe.
I've got some questions for staff and not for you, so if I could bother them, you can probably relax. First of all, thank you for the presentation tonight. It makes a lot more sense seeing it presented this way. I can understand the issues a lot better. But I've got a few questions. What's the current capacity of the low flow channel? And where, you know, how much of the water that's coming out of Newsom Springs is being handled by the low flow channel?
Well, and part of the answer to that is it can change any given year because it's a channel that is actively maintained on an annual basis by, you know, the farmers along the way. So they change the size of it according to how they maintain it that year. But, you know, we've estimated as up to 100 CFS, about 10% of the total flow. Out of 1,000 CFS.
So but
it can vary. We've estimated at times as low as 30, depending upon how big they make it.
Let's pick the 100 for now and deal with that. So if we get 1,000 CFS coming out of Newsom Springs,
yeah,
100 CFS is going to go down through the low flow channel.
Yeah, and really about 800 coming out of crossing the road here. 800 something coming here combines with more to produce 1,000 here. And 30 to 100 makes it through the channel, depending upon how it's graded that year, and about the same capacity through here.
And then it continues off to the left of the map.
Yes.
And then the other 700 to 900 CFS works its way to the creek?
Correct.
Okay. Going back to the A1 ditches, how large do those collection ditches need to be?
Quite large. They're
now flooding in sheets and flooding across the agricultural land. And rather than letting it build up like that, we're going to catch it in the collection ditches, or we're going to put it through the pipes and transmit it over more directly to the creeks and get it into the creeks.
Correct.
Now, when that happens, aside from some potential bank problems, bank stabilization problems, Are we injecting the water into the creek in a faster rate? Are we going to have any greater effect downstream? What's the result of us doing that?
We did look at that, and we looked at the change in timing of it, sheet flowing versus it direct flowing in relation to the total flow in Arroyo Grande Creek, and it was really a very negligible number in terms of water surface elevations or total flow. It's not enough of a factor to make a difference. We're still talking about, you know, the water getting from here to here. It's not that far, whether you're going slowly in a sheet or in a ditch or a pipe that's pretty darn flat. It's still not a real fast flow.
So it's simply a question of timing.
It's just a question of timing. And as we talked about in the master plan, timing does affect the combination of flows, but we looked at that, and it's not a big, it doesn't change peak flows in Arroyo Grande Creek in a noticeable manner.
So I know we received, I'm sure everyone received, on the council received a letter from Mary Gilliam. She's concerned about channeling all of the runoff into the creek and how much that would increase her problems. And I'm not sure where she lives downstream. Yeah. Obviously, she's living downstream.
Certainly with option A, I don't believe there's any change downstream of this point here. With options B and C, you do change the flows between this point and the release point. I think there's adequate channel capacity, but there is probably So according to Swanson, there are some sites where erosion would be a concern.
Thanks. That's all the questions I have right now.
Just one question related to that has to do with the pipe that runs along Branch Mill. That you're, instead of a ditch, you're proposing at that point just a 48-inch pipe. Would a 48-inch, yeah, and that setup, would that 40-inch pipe move 800 cubic feet of water?
No. That collects what's in the low-flow ditch and conveys it on down the stream. And, you know, this might be a little optimistic here just to do it with this, but the idea is to the flow from this ditch here. The purpose of this is to pick up this flow and protect these areas downstream.
Okay. I guess the what brings this question on is why would you build a really big ditch capable of handling the 1,000 cubic feet per second if, in fact, it's never going to make it there because the approaching ditch is too small.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
So unless you did alignment B as well, you wouldn't need that big a ditch there. You wouldn't need a 40-foot wide ditch.
Yeah, if you had alignment B or D, then the bulk of the flow is not coming across this field. You just have the little low flow in the low flow ditch.
Did you look at increasing the carrying capacity of, I'll call it the upper ditch there, and getting it to be more than I realize it would never be 1,000, but
no, we didn't look at that. I would note, you know, this area here with the existing homes would certainly be the immediate concern that would come to mind. I don't think you could fit it in past there, and indeed you would need to run it pretty much all the way on up.
Just kind of fun. That's why you end up with a 102-inch pipe in alignment B, is because you need to redirect all of that water.
You need to redirect all the water, and you need to lay the pipe very flat.
Any other questions?
You actually asked a couple of mine. What is the capacity? We've heard different numbers for the pipe that actually goes under Branch Mill Road at the head of Newsom Springs, or where Newsom Springs is coming out?
In terms of years, it's approximately a 25-year capacity culvert. In storms larger than that, could overtop Branch Mill Road. We did look at the potential of putting a detention basin in this area here, estimating the size and depth based on a field observation. And we could hold back enough water to make it so the Branch Mill Road would be overtopped in something approximately a 50-year storm. That I don't see a whole lot of benefits from doing that. You would still... It would still be free-flowing enough that you would pretty commonly get water washing over, negatively speaking, the water coming off of the upper watershed, which is heavily vegetated and natural, is, relatively speaking, pretty clean. You know, as it washes over the agricultural fields, it gets much dirtier, and you can even see that in the video if you look hard for it. So, you know, like Cheryl mentioned, you if you can keep the floodwaters off from washing across that ag field, you can improve sedimentation, and the Lyman's B and C can achieve that. But at the same time, they introduce increased flow into the identified bank erosion sites, and I think if you do that, you probably bear the burden of addressing those and expanding the scope of the project. If you did that, you would be improving sedimentation in two ways, at the creek bank erosion and the ag field, but you'd have an expanded scope of project above and beyond what I've shown you here.
Now what about part of the problem with alignment B and C, as I understand it, is the flatness?
Yes.
Was there any study to take basically what is B, do a pipe, and take it to where A comes out? You would have a lot more fall then. If it's for the ag land, I don't know if there's a depth that you'd have to get before it would start impacting their ability to grade the soils. But
are you talking about a pipe going straight, or are you talking about a zigzag?
Yeah, because no, if it went straight.
We didn't estimate that, and you're right. It would be sloped better, and it would be maybe closer to the 72s than the 102s, the two of them each. I think we looked at it briefly and said, well, look at the length, look at the cost. It's probably too much, and didn't prepare a slide for presentation, but that was the thinking.
I mean, I'm just looking at B. And if I'm moving that B over, I'm getting pretty close. I may not get all the way to the creek, but I bet I'm getting to the least where the A is in the alignment. I guess yeah. What I'm concerned here is that this ditch that we're using as a primary source of conveying water is at best poor. And so are we planning on maintain that to some minimum capacity, or are we going to pretty much
opportunity to take a look at the video that we were given? Okay. Do any of you have any questions on that video?
The only question I probably have is, what was the rainfall during that period?
That was maybe we can ask Mr. Dickens to come and talk about. I believe there were two shots on there, 95 and 98. Was that correct?
Jim Dickens, 769 Branch Mill Road, for the record. To answer your question, Mr. Mayor, the first part of the clip was actually a dry part of the season, which I believe I shot in 97, and it was primarily just to get a glimpse of the magnitude of the 1,000-acre watershed, 1,000-acre-plus watershed, and the remainder of the storm event that I captured on that DVD that I presented to the council is from March 10th, 1995, and that was I took probably half of that video in the morning, and the rains continued throughout the day, and then the second half was actually in the afternoon. So I don't remember exactly what the rainfall was that particular rain event, but I believe it was about a five-day event, and it kind of accumulated towards the end with quite a bit of rainfall and within a 24-hour period. But I think the reason why I was trying to share that particular event was that you could tell with some of the footage that there was some extensive ponding and getting to the point where I would believe that there was damage to the agricultural fields that I wanted to, that the sheeting was actually getting to a point where it was starting to flow pretty good. And it's my understanding, and the question was asked by, I believe, Council Member Arnold, in regards to the 8x4 stone culvert that is underneath Branch Mill Road at the end of Newsom Springs, is rated at approximately to a 100-year flood event, we would be talking about close to 4.5 to 5 times the amount of water that you see in that video. And that's really what I was trying to do, is express what we're really truly talking about here. And I think that part of what we've seen historically is that a 5, 10, 15, maybe even a 25-year event, if you want to call the 95 March 10th, 95 event a 25-year event, that for the most part, the Dixon Ranch and the agricultural properties in between Newsom Springs and the Dirt Cherry do experience some ponding. And for the most part, historically, within several days, that ponding goes away and we're back to normal business. But my concern is that I don't believe, at least in recent history, we've actually experienced a 100-year flood event. And I think when that happens and we see the magnitude that could come out of Newsom Springs, then I think that we're really going to be talking about some significant damage. And the sheet flow moving from the Newsom Springs to East Cherry will be very significant and will actually be carrying quite a bit of a sediment and soils into Arroyo Grande Creek. And that's what I think needs to be addressed. I'd also, if at all possible, if I could take this time, Mr. Mayor, to present a couple of items. If you don't mind, if I could borrow the laser pointer. Listening to the staff report, there's a couple of things that come to mind. One, when we're looking at the 100-year queue, or the 100-year event, and the 1,000-plus acres of the Newsom Springs watershed, we're looking at it from a constant standpoint. We're looking at it in the fact that there won't be any further development up in that particular area, and I think that's naive. I believe there will be continued development up in Newsom Springs, which, in my opinion, will create more and more impervious surfaces, which will probably in the future increase the amount of water that will come out of Newsom Springs. The second issue is that one thing that hasn't been brought to light, because it's really in truly the preliminary stages, is that we have the Dixon Ranch, in collaboration with the RCD, have looked at creating a problems. And I think that's important if we choose to move forward with that particular grant application, that we coordinate those types of efforts, because this may have to be a larger capacity. Okay, again, we haven't chosen to move forward with that. I believe it's a 80 to 20% funding mechanism, and so there's an obligation for the Dixons to actually come up with a portion of the monies, but 80% would actually be coming from, I believe, it's state and federal funds, and maybe Julie can give a little more detail to that. But we think that in the future that might be something very possible for us. And then the last thing I'd like to say, or like to at least look at, that's not being addressed here, is that when I looked at this probably 8 years ago, I think that there's a true potential. Instead of these alignments here, there's actually a road that's here. This alignment should also be looked at. This alignment comes directly to this particular area. No, it doesn't. It's upstream of the current inlet here, or the culvert. But I think that if there was overflow, that this particular area would be a prime area to look at, and then maybe cutting it across like this or something like that. But you have approximately an 8-foot fall here, which would create the necessary structure then to actually put that water into this particular piping system with the type of velocity that they can get it across and the appropriate fall that could get it over to here. So I just think that that's something that probably should be looked at to see if that's even a viable option. Anyways, thank you for the time, Mr. Mayor. Are there any questions specifically from the DVD or any other questions you may have?
Yeah, Jim, I have one question. When you took me up there to look at the whole issue with Branch Mills as the potential dam, it seemed to me to make a lot of sense, and it seemed obviously to you to make a lot of sense when you were showing it to me, and yet we're hearing that it doesn't seem to be the capacity. Have you done any kind of surveying out there? I know it's on private property. To me, it seems like there is a greater potential there than I guess we're kind of being led to believe there is right now. Do you want to speak on that at all? Because you seem to have a lot of good information on that idea.
Well, I can only speak from a layman's terms. I'm not a hydrologist. I've not done anything. Looking at the topography of the area, Branch Mill Road specifically dips in this area. With a road improvement project that brought that road up and leveled it out, it would automatically create a possibility of, in my opinion, a 2-3 foot berm just from the road alignment itself, which means that maybe the depth capacity that the Wallace Group is looking at maybe wouldn't necessarily need to be so deep. That's just a possibility, but again, I'm not an expert in that particular area, and I just think it has a lot of potential. It could also serve, and maybe less than a detention basin, but more so as a collection basin to create enough velocity then to get the water very similar to what Wallace Group is talking about in this area, but to create a collection basin in such a way to then force it into the pipe to actually let it move quickly through that particular area in alternative alignment.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Julie, did you have a comment you wanted to make? Feel free.
Julie Thomas, Coastal RCD, and I just was noticing that on one of the alignment A's, there's the collection basin that runs along Cherry Creek Road. Let's see, it must have been.
Do you need, you want to use the pointer?
Zap it. That one? Yeah, this collection ditch, is that on city easement land or on Dixon Ranch property?
That would be on Dixon Ranch property on the assumption the collection needs to be on the upstream side of Cherry Avenue Road to keep the water from crossing the road.
Right. The reason I ask is that because Dixon Ranch is under a perpetual conservation easement, the terms of the conservation easement are pretty strict as to any non-agricultural uses for the property. And I'd need to research that, but I'm not sure that it would be feasible to have it allocated for that purpose, and I just wanted that to be something that people have in mind.
Okay.
She's got a laser.
We're going to go ahead, and since this is a continued...
Always full of, I guess. When Lopez was built, no one thought about all of the development upstream. And in the last few years, there's been a lot of erosion coming down into Lopez Lake. So what I would like to see, if you're working on this, let's make sure and address future projects, because that's really where the erosion starts. That, you know, when the land is not being disturbed, it doesn't bother. But when it gets disturbed, we have a problem. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, that last comment, just for staff's benefit, is, you know, that's precisely the issue that I was trying to address at the last meeting. It's a question that I still have at this meeting, and that is, if we're gonna affect, I mean, we can treat the symptom, but until we deal with the source in some comprehensive way, we're going to continue to have problems. And that's my issue, is what are we doing upstream? you know, the same issue that that Zone 11A has with us up here. I mean, we are also a Zone 11A, if you will, for upstream Newsom Springs. And until we get the county and the flood control district around the table and start dealing with development policies up in those canyons, I don't see us, you know, doing any meaningful mitigation. I mean, we can do the best we can downstream, but you see where I'm going with this? Is there any hope for that to occur? I mean, because these are land use issues, these are flood control issues, and they're out of our, to some degree, they're out of our jurisdiction and authority.
I think all that's true, and the testimony about, you know, uncontrolled development could be a problem is of course true. And we should always be concerned with what development may occur and is it being handled properly. That being said, you know, looking at the watershed you have here, there may be some development that's going to happen there, but probably not a whole lot. And regardless of that, the watershed has it, and we'll have a flood come out of it if it rains hard. And we can put a basin at the bottom of the watershed, but that's not where the sediment comes from. The sediment comes downstream of the watershed, and like we talked about, diverting the water around the downstream fields could help. But we can hold it back for a while, but not really enough to keep the floods off the field. You just maybe spread them over another hour.
Well, I think what the strategy we're really proposing is kind of a two-tiered approach here, trying to move forward with an immediate project to address, as you said, some of the symptoms, basically flooding of existing developed areas, but at the same time begin some planning efforts with RCD, the county, and other potential groups to start planning for other measures that realistically, as far as implementation, are probably going to be a little more long-term, but we could start working on those concurrently to try to address both issues.
Okay. Any other member of the public would like to come forward?
Hello. My name is Damian Mavis, and I'm working on the Cherry Creek project. And as you've seen, most of the A alignments go through our site. And I'd like to speak a little bit on how our site fits into the whole solution and what we're prepared to do to help with the situation. The alignment A4 most closely mirrors what we're proposing to do. And that essentially will create a 44-foot wide by 500-foot long vegetated swale through our site, which is in blue there. This will, in a low flow storm event, the water will come through there slowly, and essentially we're doing the best we can with the space we have to give that water a chance for the silt and pesticides and anything in there to potentially settle out. Certainly in a large event like a 100-year flood, that channel is just acting like a conduit to get water across the property. It's probably not doing much at all to clean the water, although we are planning on planting some deep root under our ownership or on city right away. I think that's a big deal because essentially you're not going out to eminent domain, anybody's property. You're not talking about digging a ditch across an existing ag field. And this is something that we're essentially willing to do right now and would provide a 100-year storm flood capacity and keep everything downstream from the site, including Niagara Court, which floods on occasion, essentially protect that. And if it wouldn't, we would essentially be covering the shortfall in the funds that the city has to deal with this situation. and the city has the funds from a previous developer in that area. So essentially what we're proposing is not taking any city money to do this, but the funds that do have to be made up, we would do that on our own cost. As well, is this could be part of a phased approach. This doesn't preclude anything from happening in the future. As you would notice, most of the talk of any upstream retention basin or detention basin does have infrastructure going across our site, although it's smaller. So the way I see it is we may be oversizing our swale in the event that an upstream retention basin is eventually implemented, or a ditch or a pipe crosses the ag land. There still needs to be infrastructure going across our site because there still is a watershed downstream of Newsom Springs. I think 100 or 70-something acres would end up coming across our site of watershed. So we did talk to the NRCS about this, and we kind of talked to them about how best to build this and implement this solution so that we are providing some sort of benefit in terms of water quality. And we feel we've really tried to do as much as we possibly can given the constraints of our site. So that's basically our proposal, and we're pretty much ready to do it. We don't preclude anything else from happening in the future. I can answer any questions that you may have.
Questions? Okay, thank you. Anyone else from the public that would like?
I'll read this, but I was wondering about the discussion about whether to have a pipe or a ditch that will go across the property and then dump into the Rio Grande Creek. And just from observing the water that came down into the Las Veras Creek, there's a big wide ditch comes from through Taylor's Yard and past the Sunrise Terrace, then it dumps into the Rio Grande Creek, and there are some conduits, two pipes that dump in, and when the water came in at such a force from this big ditch, and it cut way into the bank, almost into the Las Veras Road, just from the force of coming through the smaller conduits there. And I just wondered if that might, you might have a problem there as it dumped into the Rio Grande Creek. So maybe, I'm not an expert on it, but I just wanted to show you my observation. Well, I've followed the recent meetings of the Rio Grande Planning Commission and the council meetings also regarding the developers' plans of the Vista Del Mar and also the Cherry Creek Newsom Springs plans. I was unable to attend the meetings and speak to you in person, but I watched the proceedings intently on television. And since I've been assessed $390 plus the $7 that I have always paid for flood control, I'm concerned that both of the developments will be channeling all of the runoff water directly into the creeks. I'm disappointed and amazed that you will agree to allow this to happen. Do you realize that the city is not responsible for the cost of keeping the creeks cleared of sediment and vegetation because a few of us low-income property owners are forced into paying for the county to maintain them now and for years to come? Are you aware that only three residences along the Las Veras Creek are being assessed for maintenance of the creek? I will enclose a photo for a couple of them that Mr. Pretty and the county engineers gave to me. Is it fair that not only am I being assessed, but with all the extra water during the heavy rains, plus the added input from the two developments, I'll be constantly watching water rise in the creek, with the fear that it will overflow? If that cannot be enforced, at least an impact fee should be charged to pay for flood control, since they are adding to the problem. And as I watched the meetings, there seemed to be more sympathy for the developers and the delay in the Cherry Creek flood control problem than in the fact that Oceano assessed residents would pay for the consequences of the added water in the creek.
Thank you. Anyone else? Last chance. Okay, we're going to close the public hearing portion of this item. And Craig, I was wondering if you got a copy of this handout that Marjorie gave us today.
No, I did not.
Is there a way you could stick this up on the overhead? I'd just like your take on...
Bob can.
Okay. There was panic there for a minute. You just thought you were going to go answer your phone. Yeah, if you could blow that up, that would be good. Not literally, just make it bigger. Okay, so this is Los Barros Creek here. And there's some concern right in this area here. Is that correct? So in terms of the flows down through Los Barros Creek, what is your take on that as a result from Newsom Springs or as a consequence of Newsom Springs?
The projects that intercept the flow that would go through the stone culvert, as we mentioned, those that protect Luana Lane, et cetera, Coastal Christian School, Vagabond Mobile Home Park, that flow continues on down and gets its way into Los Barros Creek. So the projects that, but the projects that do include, for instance, the 48-inch pipe going up to the stone culvert would reduce the flow to this problem area a little bit. And the other projects that don't include that feature would have no effect.
Okay. All right. This is sort of my wish list, Craig, so, if you can keep track of this. Looking at all of the... Oh, I did have one question on the... B3, if we can put that back up. Did we look at all at the other reach that perhaps traversed in this direction, as Mr. Diggins indicated, along that road and perhaps entering the creek earlier, further upstream?
It's probably a possibility. No, I don't think we've looked at that one specifically. Yeah, I'd have to look at the topography, but it's probably a possibility. Sort of a hybrid between B and C.
The only reason why I asked that is because it's closer to the where the source intercepts Branch Mill.
Correct.
So
it would involve a new culvert across Branch Mill Road.
So the closer we can cite that to the source, then the less bending and turning that flow has to undertake. Sure. Is that correct?
That's correct. Like I mentioned, as I understand it, the project would initiate here and go on down this alignment here. And the question there is, what do you do? Do you continue on straight, or do you come on down to the lower locations, which hydraulically is better but maybe more expensive? And then, of course, it would involve a new crossing of Branch Mill Road. That would increase the expense but would have the advantage of you could size it properly.
But that could be subsumed on in a grant if we were able to obtain one as part of the mitigation measure, could it not?
Potentially, yes.
Okay, the other question I had on this slide was the
downstream end, because we're trying to make a pipe go downhill when the land does not.
Okay. Okay, now comes the wish list, and I need some feedback from all of you. My goal here is, and there are at least four items, my goal is to minimize or eliminate the sheet flowing across the ag land. Second thing I want to attempt to do is to minimize or eliminate the downstream sedimentation impact. Third thing is to minimize the impact or eliminate the impact on ag production. And last, certainly not least, is to ensure that whatever we do, the people along Noguera Place get their backyards back. So that's sort of my wish list. There's probably one or two others that I could add to it, but for right now, that's primarily my concern. Now, is that an impossible task, or is there one of these options that might accomplish all of that or come close to it?
No, it's not an impossible task. If I can go down the list there, the minimizing sheet flow, basically any of the B and C options do that because they take the flood flow and divert it prior to the ag fields. Minimizing downstream sediment, you have to do two things, I feel, to do that. One is taking the sheet flow off the ag fields, which B and C do. B and C also introduce flow to the identified bank erosion sites. I haven't gone out to take a look at those. I've just seen them described in the Swanson literature, but I think, you know, the environmental studies are going to look at that and say, new flow existing erosion risk, do something about it. So you probably will have to expand the scope of the project to include some measure of controlling erosion of Rio Grande Creek Bank in those sites. Reducing agricultural impacts basically leads you to doing a pipe system instead of a ditch, in my view, because the flood flow away, and then there's the site design of what happens with Cherry Creek, and are you able to no longer need that 10-foot easement there? Is there no longer any flow going to that direction? And you know, that would have to involve the site design of the Cherry Creek area, because that field itself drains. This whole area here is draining this way into the back of the Noguera Place. And so unless you change that with some effort on the Cherry Creek property, any water that lands on that property from upstream or itself is going to end up in those backyards, and there needs to be a facility there.
Okay. Then one last question, then I'll let the other council members comment. And that is on the issue of bank erosion. And, feel free to jump in, Julie, on this one, too. The sites that you indicated, Craig, that where we had some potential bank erosion issues, were those were identified in the Swanson study, were they not? So those are areas that we have to deal with anyway, right?
There are areas that Swanson identified as desirable to mitigate. You know, the city's not obligated to do so, but it's an area where you could provide benefit to the areas downstream.
Okay, then let me follow up with a question of you, Steve. If we were able to somehow or another through grants or other revenue sources enhance our creek maintenance effort, which I think is a goal of this council based on what I've been hearing. These projects where there is issues with creeks or bank instability would be a focus of future work here in the city. Would, is that safe to assume?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then I think what we will do is start over here with Councilmember Costello and move through this.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I can make my comments fairly brief, and they parallel modified C if we're talking about potential for a different flow level over there, or a different branch to pursue. I would recommend to go with the pipe over the ditch so that we do minimize the impact on the existing ag lands that are up there. I would say that we definitely should pursue at least studying the potential creek impacts and vigorously pursue any grants that might be out there to help us with any creek stabilization. That should be a part of it. And the ultimate goal of this also has to be to minimize any of the flooding that's going to be occurring west of the existing low-flow ditch. It seems the most practical solution to this is going to be one of the B or Cs. I think that's what we should be pursuing.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It actually worked out really well that you went first tonight, because I'm going to concur with all your thoughts and your wish list, so I'll make those mine also. The one thing I do want to, I guess, stress for as far as I look in, how I'm looking at this, though, is I think we need to make sure that we avoid flooding the residential neighborhoods. And I think we should definitely be striving to minimize or avoid, as you said, the flooding of the ag fields. I think it's a much greater undertaking to maybe get it 100% where in a 100-year flood we won't flood the ag field. But I think the majority of time, our goal should definitely be to not be flooding the ag field. So I'm actually looking at kind of a combination of alternatives, which I actually like the alternative, I guess, B3, but realigned down the road. That seems to make a lot of sense. And I would suggest that we look at that in conjunction with possibly raising Branch Mill Road to form some kind of ponding basin behind there. I realize there are lots of issues with getting permission and whatnot on the adjacent property, but I think if there was a combination of depression on the upstream side of a Branch Mill plus the increasing of the height of the road, that we might find that the actual depression that had to be made would be, a lot less than realized. I thought it was even a greater than the 3 feet that Jim mentioned. So I would definitely like to see that, because I do think the siltation is a real issue. But I don't think we can get away from A4 either. And the reason I say that is I don't remember the exact number, but we'd put in the pipes that are necessary and to redo Branch Mill, the collection point there, that may be cost prohibitive for the time being. And so I think there should be at least a shorter-term solution to solve the flooding of the neighborhoods. And so therefore, A4 may need to be oversized in the short term, so that until we get the, I'll call it the B4 alignment or a D alignment, whatever we want to call it, until that can be done, it would be nice to stop the flooding that is occurring in the residential areas. I would also like to look at possibly supporting the Dixon's Ranch in obtaining the grant to improve the ditch. That was one of the things that I looked at initially and was saying, here we are using this as this low flow ditch as a kind of a major component of our system here, and it's actually a very unstable source for carrying the water. So if that could be improved to help, again, keep the water that's coming off the hills off of the ag land, I think that would be a very worthwhile project. Let's see. And just for Ella, for your benefit, and I know you probably already know this, but obviously the Newsom Spring development that is occurring is not been anything that we have much jurisdiction over because it isn't the county. But I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, I have very similar thoughts as Councilman Arnold here. I do think that, and I was a little concerned when I was hearing everybody say they were for B, because clearly we have to do A, and the sizing of A I think is pretty critical as well. I do agree that we want to size it as big as possible here, as big as reasonable, I guess would be a better way to put it. Based on how long it may take and when the 100-year flood may come, but also so that we can deal in the interim with the 10 and 25-year floods that are already a threat. I think the one addition I would make is that we do want to look at sizing the 40-inch pipe on Lower Branch Mill, for lack of a better word. I know I should be calling them, I guess it's Reach 2 and 3. But we should be look at sizing that large enough so that if, in fact, the low-flow ditch is improved, that we can handle that. Because that may actually be kind of catastrophic if we, in fact, built this, depended on this ditch and then had the road collapse into it or a piece of the road collapse into it. If we can do the alignment down the road, I think that's certainly something we should look at. It solves a lot of right-of-way issues, relatively expensive probably to tear up that road. But I do see where there's certainly some hydrology problems where you're naturally going to dump into the creek higher. I'm starting to appreciate what a big deal that is. It doesn't seem like if you're half mile up the creek, it should be that big a deal, but I guess it is because of the height, the difference in height of the creek there. I would also like to take a second look at the retention basin on the south side of Branch Mill, and particularly with the idea that if we were going to go down the road, kind of tying it into the whole idea there that possibly Branch Mill would end up being higher at that point, or maybe even higher for some distance there. I don't think it's a huge sediment issue there, but I do think there is even in the smaller events that there probably is some water retention and groundwater improvements that in fact would be a plus right there, independent of the sedimentation and flood control, that might make that make some sense. I think we really should break it out separate from this project, from this study, but I do think we want to look at separately bank control in Arroyo Grande Creek. I think obviously that's the biggest sedimentation issue. It's certainly related to the amount of water that's flowing down the creek, but it's actually, there's already lots of water flowing down the creek, and there's going to be lots and lots more water flowing down the creek in the 100-year event, and we need to prepare the creek to deal with that rather than I think it's unrealistic that we're going to keep all the water out of the creek. Yeah, I guess the bottom is we want to look at this in phases. Where do we get the, you can call it bang for the buck, or where do we get the biggest percentage improvement? I think we clearly get the biggest percentage improvement out of A4. It's not, you know, the risk here is that we stop there, and I don't think that's where we, you know, I think that's what we want to be clear, that we can't stop there, that we want to, you know, do the most important part first, but that's not going to be the end of the project, and we're going to be looking at whatever it takes to then control the whole problem farther up, closer to the source. And dealing with the county is dealing with the county. I do concur with staff here.
When was the last time we had a 100-year event in this area?
Probably 69. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, what we have here clearly is a very large, comprehensive problem. And as a result of that, I believe what we need is a formidable, comprehensive solution. Therefore, for us to focus on one option here, one alternative, in my mind, is not practical in terms of resolving the issue. So I'll go down the list and reinforce some of the comments that have already been made. I believe A4 is a must to accomplish a couple of things on my checklist here. But I don't believe that we should consider it as the sole initial effort. And, you know, what we're looking at here, obviously, is some huge costs that we're going to have to start planning for. But I would like whatever plan that we move forward to embody a number of action steps. Now, we can put those on a timeline, but I think they need to be embodied in a single approach. Because if they're not, then we're going to lose elements down the road. Something's going to jump in front of an expenditure, and we're going to lose sight of it. So I think what we need is one comprehensive plan with several elements. A4 is one. A modified B3 is another. And as has been mentioned, Craig, as I indicated, I would like to take a look at the potential for modifying that extension, the one that Mr. Dickens indicated that might proceed along that road in much more of a straight alignment with the where Newsom Springs, where the culvert intersects Branch Mill, just to look at feasibility and may intersect with the reach that you already have identified. I'll leave that to you. Right. What I'm talking about is whether we can carry this straight across here or whether we carry it to this point and move it down there. I agree with Mayor Pro Tem. I would like to take a look at the feasibility possibility as a another element of this comprehensive plan, at least take a look at a potential detention basin on the south side of Branch Mill. The other important element, and one that I would like us to include, and again, on a timeline subject to funding, but I would like it in the plan itself, is some treatment of the bank instability, potential bank erosion sites that Swanson identified in the study. They're there. We got to deal with them. I would just as soon get them into some form of a comprehensive plan that we can start addressing and searching for funding, whatever the source may be. But I believe all of those elements need to be in place. So, you know, once again, it's I understand the fiscal impact here. But this is a huge problem, and if the problem is on us and nobody else is going to step forward, no other jurisdictions are going to step forward and help us, then we're going to need a comprehensive approach, and that approach is expensive. So, I just don't see it as being that simplistic that we can throw one of these alternatives at it and fix the problem. So those are my comments. I don't have any issue moving forward with environmental, as long as it's a good comprehensive effort, and as long as it again embodies those approaches. So those are my comments. Okay.
Include option A4, but wouldn't not necessarily be the only selected preferred alignment, but the comprehensive plan that would include A4. C, where we talk about additional engineering analysis and CEQA review, I think that recommendation would stay the same, but you might want to say to include all the alternatives identified in the discussion this evening, which is the new basically the new alternative that we talked about on the road, and also studying the retention basin option or other alternatives possibly for upstream retention. And I think the other recommendations would remain the same then.
Okay. Any comments on Steve's observations?
Just a quick question. Are you then going to increase the scope of the environmental to be on all of those things? Or are you still planning on a focused environmental on just A4?
Well, in any case, the IR is going to have to include alternatives, so we would just make sure all those alternatives are incorporated in the IR. Do you see any problem with that, Craig?
No, but if I understand the recommendation, it would be to develop a comprehensive plan, including a specific project for immediate or for initial construction and action steps for subsequent measures. And we would do environmental review on that plan of action steps plus immediate project.
Well, I guess my goal is to have environmental review completed on all the components that would eventually go into this comprehensive plan, because I think what we want to do is position ourselves to begin implementing these measures based on what opportunities we have. So, for example, if Cherry Creek project were to go forward, we would probably implement A4 initially. But if that project were not to go forward, you know, it may turn out that we move forward and get some grant money and move forward with the other B options. So I think what we need to accomplish is to be positioned so we have the environmental review done so we can take advantage of whatever opportunities present themselves.
And that's a big issue, what you just mentioned. And I know we've discussed this at the Zone 11A meetings and when we've talked about source of grants additional supplemental funding that might be available. Just about everybody has come forward and said, we need a plan, we need a specific project, we need environmental done and to apply for it.
What does that do to your funding numbers, Steve, just so we know where we stand? We were at $100,000 before. I'm guessing it's significantly more now that we're studying.
We had always assumed that we were going to study, include options within the environmental review. It could increase it. I don't think we need to increase the budget at this point, but we may come back.
So you don't think it'll be significantly more than it was? It seems to me that we're doing environmental on A and A4. Now we're going to do an environmental on B, which, yeah, we were going to look at it, but that doesn't mean we're going to do the entire environmental study. And we're also looking at changing a road and potentially a retention basin. You know, I'm just trying to get a sense of how big this could get.
I think it'll probably increase if you were to include, for instance, just as you mentioned, the detention basin and the road and the erosion sites. I think it would probably climb. How much? I don't know, but I think it'd be more than.
I think I'd like to see it split into two pieces. I'm all for studying all of the alignments, you know, the environmental study of the alignments. I'm a little bit concerned about until we have a better idea of the real possibility of the change in the road and the retention basin, which I definitely want to look at, that we're not jumping out and doing an environmental study of something that is either infeasible physically or physically infeasible. So that's my one concern here. So I'd like to sort of see that we would come back with another look at the retention basin and the road before we jump into an environmental study of that piece. That's all.
Well, what I would like to do is get a sense of what the additional cost would be if we did embody that. And then we can make a determination as to whether or not we want to extend the environmental review to incorporate, the detention basin. I understand where you're coming from, and I would much rather sort of put that someplace in the basket on the side. But I would definitely want to move forward with the bank instability issue, because those are the issues that we're going to have to deal with anyway. Those are the issues that detention basin thing on hold for now and not included in the environmental review. You know, I wouldn't have any serious heartburn with that, but I would on the issues in the creek, the bank, because those are going to do nothing but deteriorate further. We're going to have to address them.
Well, how about if we propose this? Because my goal right now is to get all this started as quickly as we can, because we may have some opportunities to come up and we need to get the environmental review done. What if tonight you direct us to concurrently start the you know, the additional engineering analysis, so we can start narrowing down these options to what's feasible, and at the same time we'll go ahead and start, you know, put an RFP out for the environmental review with some options, you know, in their proposal, so that we can get an idea of costs, and so concurrently, hopefully, we can come back with the results of the engineering analysis and the proposals and cost for the environmental review.
Let me ask a quick question here. And I'm not asking you, Julie, I'm not asking you for any specific recommendations, but is there a way that when we move forward with the environmental aspects of this that you might be able to put your heads together with staff and see what we can come up with here? Okay. All right. Any other comments?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is, I think so that we do really truly have a master plan for this, that we don't start pushing too many of the pieces off. What I think is important, and I think Steve kind of summed it up for me too, is we know that A4 is pretty much has to be done. I agree with you that the creek stabilization needs to be done. Beyond that, right now we've got some theories that a detention basin may or may not be feasible. A new alignment that hasn't been presented tonight may or may not be feasible. So if the RFP basically has those as basically components, so we have some kind of sense of pricing on those items, then we can move forward with the body of it. And then if we find that those are not feasible, then obviously we wouldn't exercise those options. If they are feasible, then we would. Would that be?
Yeah, okay. That works. You want to jump in? Anything
I'm
else?
Ready to make a proposal.
Okay, make a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd make a motion that we direct staff to begin the engineering analysis based on the options we've been discussing tonight with the
Okay, I want to clarify that what we're talking about are the specific areas of the bank that you've identified in your presentation this evening?
Yes.
It's identified in the Swanson study?
Yes, and just to clarify, the Swanson study also identifies other bank stabilization sites further downstream within the city limits. And my understanding is we're talking about these sites right here at our outlets.
Yeah.
Okay.
The others can be addressed, part of the, you know, the grand plan, but these are directly impacted by what we're trying to do here with Newsom Springs.
Yes.
Immediately impacted, I should say. Is that
absolutely
work for you?
Yes.
Second hold?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you include the transfer of the funding in that? I didn't.
Yes. Measure C or Measure D here, the transfer of the $25,000 from the payment management program capital improvement budget.
Okay. Discussion?
Question on the funding. Why are we transferring money out of the general fund when we actually have this? I understand in the long run this takes a whole lot more money than is available. Why wouldn't we spend the money that's directly available and intended for this before we start going into the general fund? I mean, let's be optimistic. Maybe we would get giant grants here and we actually wouldn't need any more.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, we're going to need all that money for the project. So what we did was just identify the one funding source we had available right now to try to reduce that, and that was the reason we identified this particular funding source is we've received some state funding above what we had originally budgeted. So it's a way to at least cover some of the costs without really impacting any projects within our current CIP.
Okay, it just occurs to me that there are other road projects that are wanting too that are going to be left undone because we're spending the money on this instead of on roads. So we're really just kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul here. We need more money, period. But I mean, I'll support it in the end. But I actually think we should we should spend the pot that's available for this, and when the pot's gone, then we'll go to the other fund.
I guess we were just trying to minimize the amount that we'd have to make up later, since we had some available at this time.
I'll still support it, but I...
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember, or Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. We'll ask Councilmember Dickens. I'm trying to remember. I don't think SLOCOG has met since I gave the last report. We did have, I think, an executive session. We're looking at alternate facilities right now for both SLOCOG and SLORTA, and it looks like we have two locations already cited and in the works, and so they will hopefully in the future, in the near future, no longer be co-located in downtown San Luis Obispo. SLOCOG will be moving over on Mill Street, I believe. I think it's Mill Street. And SLORTA will be moving into a joint, if everything goes well, into a joint maintenance facility off of South Higuera. South County Sanitation District, I've been to several of those meetings. I think the big news out of South County Sanitation, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District is the fact that related to our discussion tonight, the board voted unanimously to endorse the MOU, the multi-jurisdictional MOU for Zone 11A, and so it was actually the SAN District that I think put their first signature on the MOU. That's going to be coming back to us with some enhanced language, and then I think we need to get that signed fairly quickly. So, once again, good work there, Tim. And we've started a process, and everybody's plugging into it. Some of the language has been changing, but it's moving along. So that concludes my report. Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, there has not been a RAC meeting that I've attended. I think it's this coming week, and Councilman Arnold took over the EVC for me.
Okay. Councilmember Dickens.
I'll also be short. We have not had a South County Area Transit meeting since my last report, and school has just started, so I'm anticipating the South County Youth Coalition within the next several weeks will be having that meeting, so I have no report this evening.
Okay. Councilmember Costello.
I'd like to mention, start off with the Zone 3 Water Advisory Board. Their last meeting was July 20th. I was not present. I was not unavailable, so I didn't make that meeting. APCD, Air Pollution Control District, I'd like to educate the public about a four-workshop process that's currently going on composting and green waste, 12905 or 471-4282. They'll be glad to register you and get you into those, into one of those, into that workshop. The Fire Oversight Committee met on August 4th. We continue to work very well together with Grover Beach. There is the new engineer is the captain position, the training officer captain position in Grover Beach is currently being recruited for. As a matter of fact, I think by now they should have hired that person. That will impact our training, and that continues to go well. The Fire Consolidation Oversight Committee meeting was last Friday on the 25th, and that too is going well. We've looked at some potentials for making some realistic savings to all of the jurisdictions that are involved. Well, not necessarily all, but to Grover Beach, Rio Grande, and to Oceano, in terms of the backup equipment that we keep in-house. If you look at this as a, if we were one large department, we would be have far more equipment than we need for backup. So we're exploring the potential of maybe consolidating that down somewhat, which would reduce, it would produce some significant cost savings to us. And that is something that's being discussed. And we're also continuing into discussions on the potential for consolidating some of the dispatch functions, and that looks promising in the long run also. And I think that's all I have to report tonight.
PISMO was not included in the equipment
PISMO doesn't
discussion.
Say because they're a county fire, so their backup equipment is handled a whole different way, and there would be no appreciable savings to them. So it looks good for us in Grover and Oceano that we may well be able to reduce the apparatus that we have in toto, and we would share, and by shifting the apparatus as necessary, actually end up with more equipment available in a faster manner. So there's some real economies that we're looking at, and it's promising.
Okay, good. Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The only board that met since the last report is the Economic Vitality Corporation, which I traded with Councilman Guthrie. The meeting was primarily spent introducing new members. There were a few other changes there. They did.
And there'll be at least a couple of us, I think. Who's going to the league conference? Just the two of us, right? Okay. And staff. Just want to make a comment for the benefit of council members, and probably not you, Jim, but we have a lot of league activity coming up, and I'm going to be moving into the presidency for the mayor council department of the League of Cities, and I'm also going to be continuing on for an extra year, it looks like, as the president of Channel Counties. And the reason for that is because our second VP and first VP, for personal reasons and so on and so forth, are no longer with us. And the bylaws read that the whoever the president happens to be at the time, when you lose the people who would move into your position, you're stuck for another year. So I had to first check with Kelly to see if she wanted to do this for another year. But as the secretary for the division, so the reason why I share that with you is because between those two leadership roles, I have a ton of appointments and reappointments to make to the league's policy committees. And so if anyone is interested in serving on a policy committee, the only requirement is that you make the meetings. And looking at some of the attendance roles, primarily for the Channel Counties, there are some appointments that that I made the last time, and people did not attend any of the meetings. So that's a no-no with the league, and that means that a fresh face gets to be appointed. So I'd be happy to speak with any member of the council if they're interested in those meetings or those committees, those policy committees. Very important process for the league. And so if you're interested, then please see me, and I can give you some more information. But I have to make those appointments fairly soon. So any other newsy items that anyone would like to share? If not, that takes us to the last item, which is adjournment. And we will adjourn to the next regular